Fear soaked my back as I handed the woman my cell phone. She looked at it like she'd never seen one before. She turned it on, turned it over, then handed it back. Behind me, a kid in a tie-dyed sweatshirt tried to shove a potted plant onto the conveyor belt. The woman with the name tag rolled her eyes. Then, thankfully, she waved me past. "You're okay. Have a nice flight." I was barely breathing as I stumbled toward my gate. America West, Flight 69. Boston to Vegas direct. The Friday night Neon Express. A line of people had already formed by the check-in desk. Boisterous, drunk, mostly male, palpably eager. Kevin Lewis was waiting quietly near the back of the line. I spotted him immediately. Tall, athletically built, but with a slight, shy stoop to his shoulders. Dark hair, dark eyes, a wide, boyish face beneath a mop of dark hair. Vaguely ethnic, but beyond that, indeterminate. His roots could have been Asian, Latino, even Italian or Russian. Like me, he was older than most of the college kids boarding the flight, but he easily fit in with the crowd. He could have been 21, 26, or 35. Wearing a jeans jacket and a baseball cap, he could have passed for a BU frat boy. In a suit and tie, he would have blended in on Wall Street. At the moment, he was wearing an MIT sweatshirt and baggy shorts. The classic MIT stereotype, right out of his parents' dreams. He saw my flushed cheeks and smiled. That's what it felt like, every day. The bravado seemed incongruous with the shyness in his shoulders. In many ways, Kevin was the classic MIT stereotype. His resume was perfect. A math science whiz kid who'd graduated at the top of his class from Exeter, the exclusive New Hampshire boarding school. An electrical engineering major with an incredible affinity for numbers. A straight-A student who'd covered all the pre-med requisites, partially to appease his father, partially because the challenge excited him. But Kevin's resume didn't tell the whole story. There was another side to his life, one written in neon signs and purple casino chips. In Boston, he'd earned straight A's at MIT. In Vegas, he'd partied with Michael Jordan, Howard Stern, Dennis Rodman, and Kevin Costner. He dated a cheerleader from the L.A. Rams and gotten drunk with Playboy centerfolds. He'd been chased off a riverboat in Louisiana and watched a teammate kicked out of a Las Vegas casino. He'd narrowly escaped being thrown into Bahamian jail. He'd been audited by the IRS, tailed by private investigators, and his picture faxed around the globe by men with shadowy reputations and guns holstered to their waists. Along the way, he'd amassed a small fortune which he kept in neat stacks of Benjamins in a closet by his bed. Although nobody was quite sure how much money he had made, it was rumored to be somewhere between $1 and $5 million. All of it legal. None of it spawned from his perfect, stereotypical resume. Shy, geeky, amiable Kevin Lewis had led a double life for nearly 4 years. Now, I was going to tell his story. "The Velcro's starting to itch," was all I could think to say as I shook Kevin's hand. "There's got to be an easier way to carry your steak." He grinned, his head cocked to one side. "Sure, fake umbrellas, phony laptop computers, plaster casts and hollow crutches. We went through a gadget phase, you know, James Bond kind of stuff. But hollow crutches are a lot harder to explain to the FBI than Velcro. If there hadn't been $250,000 taped to my body, I'd have thought he was joking. But Kevin was dead serious. He was keeping his part of our bargain, disclosing the secrets no one on the outside had ever heard before.